For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings cast. It's Daly, joined by my co-host, Liz. How are you?
What's up, y'all?
It's free agency season, not to mention draft season. Teams can negotiate with their own players between now and June 30th. I wanted to start prioritizing the Kings offseason. A lot of people, and this is no shade to them, a lot of writers and sports analysts outside of the fan base are putting out their pieces on what other teams should be doing in the offseason. And when it comes to the Kings, it's like, it's the usual, yeah, we need to re-sign Malik Monk. We have to get a combo guard if Malik Monk leaves, and so on and so forth. What do you think our number one priority should be besides Malik Monk being re-signed?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think upgrading in the position of Harrison Barnes. We need another scorer in the starting lineup. And I mean, as good as Harrison Barnes has been and how reliable he's been, I just think we need more of a shot creator in his position. And then obviously we want, to rearrange the bench a little bit. We need some depth. I think our depth sometimes was our strength last year, and then a lot of times was our weakness, because we just didn't really have much of a shot creator coming off the bench besides Malik Monk. So I think, you know, hopefully get some depth. And then, like I said, I think, yeah, replacing Harrison Barnes, I think, is a big one.
But before we move forward, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. So what do you think the chances are that we re-sign Malik Monk? I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to be in like a Bruce Brown type of situation where he wasn't happy with the Pacers last season. And then Malik Monk always said, like, money isn't everything, even if it's well-deserved. And you can definitely end up in a worse place just because you got a bigger bag.
Yeah, I think it's like half and half. I mean, I think we have more of like a leverage because, you know, he's playing with, you know, in a place that he loves. You know, the city loves him. I think he loves the city. You know, him and Fox obviously have history in playing in college together. And then, you know, I think him and Mike Brown have a really great relationship. Yeah, we've seen them, you know, bicker at each other, but I think that's a great, you know, head coaching player relationship. If your head coach isn't bickering at you or yelling at you, I take that as a bad sign. So that, I think, you know, helps. Obviously, you know, we are limited in what we can offer him, but again, you know, like you said, money isn't necessarily everything. So yes, he could potentially go to another team and get offered a lot more money, but is that situation going to benefit him and be better for him? I think maybe be like one team that could offer obviously more and he could thrive would be maybe Orlando, but is that a situation that he's going to want to be in because their team is also so young? So is he going to get that opportunity in Orlando that he's going to be getting with the Kings? Like, yes, he doesn't start and listen to JaVale McGee talk. I believe it was with Deuce and Mo. And he said, you know, they asked him like, is it better to start or, you know, and play only 25 minutes or come off the bench and play 35 minutes? And JaVale made an interesting point. He said it's better to start and only play 25 minutes, which I disagree. I think if you're coming in and you're playing a majority of the minutes, if you're finishing the game, I think that's more important. Yes, obviously you want to start, but I think finishing the game, you know, in the crunch time minutes and getting your team a win is definitely more important. So it's going to depend, but I think we have obviously a little more leverage because he knows he's comfortable, you know, with the system. He knows his role, you know, he knows what he's doing. He knows what's expected of him kind of already. Obviously the expectations will be higher next year for the whole team in general, but I just think, yeah, it just depends on, you know, what other teams want to offer him and if the situation is better. So I think, you know, I said 50-50, but maybe I'd give it like a 60-40 for him to stay.
Right. Now I agree. Now I do want to shout out everybody on my Kings timeline that posted tweets as soon as the finals were over. They were like, oh, it's time to start praying that Malik Monk stays, type of thing, which is very true. And as soon as the finals were over, that was the first thing I thought about. And so when it comes to solidifying the power forward position, depending on who we get, do we want to keep Keegan at the three?
Yeah, I think that's where, I think that's like the best place for him. But yeah, it's all dependent on, you know, kind of the off season and what we decide to do. But I think if, you know, you're kind of looking at like the names being thrown out there, you know, like Kuzma, you know, maybe potentially like a Zach LaVine is interesting. I don't know why that keeps getting brought up because the his contract, I just feel like doesn't make sense for this team, but that's how the rumors are always kind of, you know, started in the off season. So if you potentially get, yeah, because LaVine has obviously not been healthy, but he is more of a shot creator and he is obviously like better than Harrison Barnes, and that's no disrespect to Harrison Barnes, but I think that's the situation. So if you bring in a player like that, then you have to keep Keegan at the three. But if they decide again to run it back, which I don't think is the possibility, then obviously you're going to keep Keegan at the three, Harrison at the four. But yeah, it'll be really interesting, but I think Keegan's true position is at the three.
Well, I was thinking about just the personnel. I mean, if it is Kuzma, then Keegan would stay at the three. But if it's either Brandon Ingram or Zach LaVine, who are a little bit smaller than Keegan, then I think Keegan would be at the four, which I don't want to happen. I know it's possible for him to play at the four, but after so many seasons of seeing Harrison Barnes, who's roughly the same size as Keegan, guard all these bigs, all these power forwards every season. I mean, he held his own, but it just wasn't optimal. So yeah, I hope Keegan stays at the three. And I do hope that we do get a Kuzma or someone of that build and skill set. I know it's easier said than done, but yeah, definitely keeping Keegan at the three would be optimal. And it was interesting. I was talking to James Barlow when I did that draft episode last week, and we were talking about the Kings' needs. And yeah, some would say, well, we have to solidify our shooting guard position. And he asked me, I was like, are you happy with Keon Ellis starting? And I was like, yeah, I really do believe. And I've always said this, if anybody listens to this podcast and in prior episodes, I've always said he's kind of like a KCP type of player. And literally 3-and-D, doesn't have to do too much, but he can put the ball on the floor if needed, just for quick drives or just to get out of sticky situations. I'm okay with Keon starting. If anything, we would need a depth piece for the two spot.
Yeah, I agree. I think Keon obviously like emerged, you know, last season. He started the season, you know, on a two-way contract. And then I believe in January is when they made him, you know, they gave him a full-time, you know, roster contract. So like with what he did just in the short amount of months that he was like fully on the team and, you know, just the impact that he made defensively, but we could see obviously like he had those moments of, you know, his offensive shine where he could hit the three, he could drive. And I feel like that only is going to get better as he continues to put in, you know, the work and work you know, with this team and everything. So I wouldn't mind him starting, but I think it kind of just depends on what they do with the bench as well. Because we're going to need obviously some depth on that bench to come off and kind of help, you know, with the scoring. Cause if Keon obviously isn't necessarily, like, that's the thing that was, it was frustrating sometimes with Keon, is he wouldn't be necessarily looking for his shot. And that's kind of what you're going to deal with when you have such a young player, you know, kind of the up and down kind of stuff. Like, yes, obviously defensively he can bring it every night, but offensively, you know, he might not be looking for his shot and just be, you know, strictly focusing on the defensive end. So we would need that, like, depth on the bench to come off and obviously provide that scoring, which if Malik stays, that, you know, is perfect. But, you know, if Malik goes, then, you know, that's a situation where it might be like, oh, we're kind of in trouble here. So it's going to be a very interesting offseason, that's for sure, like with what they decide to do. But I have a feeling it's going to be a really, really different looking team when they roll out in October.
So not only the power forward position, but I feel like we should prioritize depth. Duarte can guard 1-3. Colby Jones can guard 1-3. And I'm really hoping Colby Jones takes a leap. I think our success is contingent upon that. Trey Lyles can guard fours and small ball fives. Davion can guard guards. I'm assuming Herter gets moved, but if we have no trading partners, let's say Herter comes off the bench, of course, he could guard twos and threes, right? Are you okay with this, or do you feel like things need to be upgraded?
I mean, things definitely need to be upgraded. Like, they can't run it back with the same situation. I feel like with Herter's contract, I believe what he's making, like $17 million a year. I think that's definitely a movable piece. You know, especially teams are looking for shooters. And yes, Kevin Herter's obviously been struggling, you know, for a while now. But, you know, him getting the surgery, you know, hopefully he'll be able to, you know, be ready, you know, kind of by training camp and, you know, kind of put the work in that he needs to. So if he does get moved, you know, maybe it's for a better situation. Maybe it's a better scheme fit for him, which would be strange because he does get a lot of open looks in this offensive system. But obviously, for whatever reason, it just wasn't working out, and he obviously was putting the work in. He just couldn't hit anything. And I feel like that's just what happens with Sacramento. Sometimes we get these, like, you know, shooters, and when they come to Sacramento, they just completely lose their shot, and then they leave, and then they find it again. So it's very weird. But, you know, I think if Kevin stays, like, he would have to come off the bench. I think his time starting is kind of done, unfortunately. So if he's coming off the bench, I would be okay with that, because I feel like he'd still get, you know, those looks, you know, coming off the bench with that second unit as well. If Davion's still there, I feel like Davion, you know, is pretty good at running the offense. You know, he obviously came into his own towards the end of the season, was able to start, you know, looking for his own shot and then kind of getting others involved as well. So I would be okay, you know, with it. But again, I mean, they kind of need to start making those upgrades if they really truly want to make, like, an actual run, you know, in the playoffs and potentially, you know, win a championship.
I mean, if a minor mayor.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Miracle, if a minor miracle happens and HB is still on the squad by next season, I really do hope that we could bring HB off the bench. I really think he could be helpful in that capacity. But moving on from that, Celtics win the NBA Finals. And really interesting, just a side note, tangent, if you will, Bruce Tennant tweets out, "I just realized the Celtics won more games in the playoffs than the Pistons did all season. And to add insult to injury, they didn't even get the first pick." And I just had to throw that in there because I think that's really brutal.
Yeah, that is a brutal thing to think about. Obviously, Detroit really, really struggled last season. They're very, very young. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And then, yes, not getting the, you know, overall one pick. That's why, like, I get the way, you know, the lottery works, because then it's like, if you're truly tanking, you still aren't guaranteed that first overall pick. So like, I kind of like that, because then you can't like really like fully tank on purpose. Like, you kind of can, but you kind of can't, because there's still a chance you don't get that. And this draft is like really, really weird. Like, obviously, like, there's going to be talent coming out every single year, but it's obviously not like hyped up as it was last year with like Victor and, you know, those guys coming out. So yeah, very interesting. But the Celtics, just an incredible run. I mean, people can, you know, crap on them all they want and say, oh, well, they played all these injured teams and, you know, blah. But it's like, you have to play who's in front of you. You can't control, you know, who's playing, who's not playing. And you just have to, you know, control your own destiny. And that they did. And, you know, they made it to the finals. And I was actually shocked with how it went. I did not think it was going to be, you know, a 4-1 series. I for sure thought it was probably going to go like at least 6 games, probably 7. And I picked Dallas to win. But I mean, the Celtics, they just came out and they were ready to go. And, you know, obviously game 4, for whatever reason, they like were just like, eh, we'll just wait and celebrate at home maybe. But it was a very shocking series for me. But congrats to Boston. I mean, that's just incredible to do what they did. I mean, they were like the, you know, odds on favorites to win it all, and they did it. So just the amount of like talent they have on that team, how long they've been building that team, you know, the outside noise that, you know, Jason and Jaylen can play together, you know, that they have to blow it up, and just even like the offseason moves that they had to make. You know, they had to make tough decisions in getting rid of, you know, Marcus Smart, who was like a centerpiece of that team for many, many years. And, you know, they picked up, got Drew Holiday from, you know, that weird trade, you know, from Portland. And then, you know, having to trade away Robert Williams, who was like, they had high hopes for, and he really just couldn't stay healthy. Getting Kristaps Porzingis was definitely interesting. And then, you know, unfortunately, he got hurt, but he was definitely very, very helpful. You know, Al Horford, very, very helpful. I mean, even guys like Sam Hauser, you know, I thought played really, really good in the finals. Peyton Pritchard had some great moments. I mean, it was like crazy. He was like 2 of 2 from half court heaves. Then he was like 1 of 14, I think, from like the 3-point line, which is like insane. But yeah, just like the team that they built, and then obviously Jason and Jalen just like being able to complement each other and play the way that they played. So, I mean, it was just unbelievable basketball that they were able to play. Derek White even. I mean, I've always enjoyed watching Derek White when he was with the Spurs, and then he got traded to Boston, and then now he, you know, won an NBA championship. So they really built, you know, that thing up. And like I said, they had to make those tough decisions to move on from players that I feel like were, you know, kind of the glue to the team. But they did, you know, they took the risk, did the right thing, and obviously it paid off. And, you know, now they can call themselves NBA champions.
Right. And Jaylen Brown wins the finals MVP award. However, felt like there was no clear alpha when it comes to the Celtics. What I appreciate about their championship run was that I felt like they played a true team game. And I asked this question last week. Do the Celtics get there without Derek White and Drew Holiday?
No, I don't think so. Bringing in Drew Holiday is so like underrated, just like what he's able to provide. And they talked about it a lot throughout, you know, the playoffs and even, you know, in the finals, is just kind of how he's had to like switch up his role. Because I feel like with Milwaukee, he was kind of more of like looking, you know, they were looking for him to score a little more, you know, because obviously like outside of Giannis and why can't I think of his name?
Chris Middleton.
I'm drawing a blank, but outside of he had to score on that team. I feel like he couldn't solely just kind of focus on defense. With Boston, I feel like he was more kind of coming in just to be a defensive stopper, because you have Jalen who can score, you have Jason who can score, you have Derek White who can score, you have Kristaps Porzingis who can score. So it's like they didn't really need him to be that guy who was just, you know, scoring 20 a night or whatever. He could come in, he could, you know, guard who he needs to guard, he could switch on who he needs to switch on, and that's what like his main focus. So with just adding him to the team, I feel like was a move for them. Like Marcus Smart did provide a lot of that as well, but I just feel like Drew Holiday like just offers something different. And then Derek White, just what he's able to do defensively is like super impressive. Like you would never imagine that a guy like Derek White would be able to do what he can do on the defensive end. But I've been watching this guy just block after block after block. Like he blocked, I believe it was Derek Lively last night. Derek Lively's like 6'7" and Derek White's 6'4". And he went up, literally blocked him at the rim. And I'm like, that's just amazing talent. So they completely played a team game. Like no one person could, you know, win that, you know, be the guy on that team. I think they all did it together. And honestly, like, yes, like people were like upset that, you know, Jaylen Brown won finals MVP. And I thought like he kind of solidified it after game two, just like with how he started game one, game two. I thought it was like he's clearly the front runner, but you can make a case even for, I think, Drew Holiday in the situation, because he had killer games as well. Not even like he was providing scoring, but just like the defense that he was providing. And then even you can provide a case for Jason Tatum. So like just three of those guys you can provide the case for. But Jalen, I think the underrated thing that people aren't talking about enough, because they're like, oh, well, Jason, you know, averaged more points, averaged more assists, you know, blah, 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 blah. But like Jaylen Brown took the assignment of guarding Luka Doncic. And that is no easy task, because we all know what Luka can do. Like the fact that he was picking him up basically at the free throw line and just being a pest to him is in itself impressive enough. And then providing what he was able to provide on the offensive end as well. So I think it was much deserved that Jaylen, I thought the finals MVP, that's who I was like, if I had a vote, I would vote for. Cause I just thought he kind of started the series the right way, did what he needed to do to get his team in the position. And then obviously I feel like Jason obviously kind of finished it, but I think Jaylen Brown was a very deserving finals MVP.
100%. Honestly, I feel like Jaylen Brown just did his thing on both ends of the floor. Whereas Jason Tatum, yeah, he did fine. He scored his points and whatnot, but Jaylen Brown did so many things defensively that that's what took him over the top. So I have no problem with him being the finals MVP. And again, like you said, Drew Holiday was one of the big three in Milwaukee just a few seasons ago. So technically the Celtics have a big three as well. And yeah, again, kudos to them for doing this the right way and not being star heavy. They are star heavy, but the way they played was more of a team game, in my opinion. Really interesting quote. And this was Joe Mazzulla in his post-game conversation at the broadcast desk. He goes, a lot of teams in the league are very close to winning it all. After losing last year, he looked at all the margins and the plays where they lost games. It's the small details in the game where the teams, where teams can win games. So I want to ask you, it's like, how close is everybody else in the league? Is it, to me, I just feel like it's a select few, maybe the top four, maybe the top six teams in the league are close.
Yeah, I mean, that's why if you look at it, like the graphic they showed, you know, now Boston obviously has won 18 championships for the most, you know, in NBA history. And then the Lakers with 17. The closest team after that is the Warriors with 7. Like winning an NBA championship is not easy at all. And if it was, then every team in NBA history would have done so and won multiple by now. But the fact that it's everything from top to bottom that you have to get right in order. And sometimes I think it is a little bit of luck that you have to endure too, because, you know, sometimes you just, you know, the other team may be better than you, and then maybe an injury happens and it just changes the whole thing. And obviously we don't want to say, you know, like pray for injuries or anything like that, but that's just the reality of the situation. So, you know, it's a lot of different moving parts, and you have to kind of, you know, trial and error. I feel like you have to build a certain, I think, foundation, and then, you know, kind of go from there. And with a lot of these teams that have like been winning NBA championships, especially lately, I feel like it's more so, you know, they've drafted their, you know, obviously their like star players, and then they kind of, you know, plug and play, you know, these guys that they can trade for, sign in free agency. Like these teams, I feel like, that have built, you know, these super teams or whatever you want to call them, I just feel like they just don't work. Like there's just too much, you know, too much command of the ball. Like it just is a mess. So I just feel like the way teams are doing it, when you look at, you know, like the Boston Celtics, like they drafted their two top guys in Jason and Jaylen, and they've, you know, basically traded and then, you know, signed some undrafted, you know, people as well to like build their team. You know, Denver has done that. You know, they drafted their two big guys, and then, or three, I would say, because you have Michael Porter Jr. in there as well. And then they've had to plug and play their guys as well. So I feel like that's kind of like more so the recipe to do so. But then it's all about kind of finding those hidden gems as well throughout the leagues, especially like the hidden gems that are on teams that aren't performing so well. So yeah, if, again, if it was easy to win an NBA championship, every team would be doing it, and it's just not. So yeah, hopefully one day our team can figure it out. But until then, yeah, it's just, it's very interesting to continue watching how these other teams move and what they continue to do, you know, in order to put their teams in the positions to, you know, win those championships.
So besides the league, though, how close are the Kings? I mean, are we a piece or two away? Some people already blame Mike Brown for the team's lack of success. Others don't have faith in Fox or Domas or both. It's really interesting.
I think we're closer than people think. And I say that because, you know, we've pivoted in the direction now where, you know, we had Tyrese and Fox together. That obviously wasn't going to be a situation that was going to work. So Monty made the tough decision to trade Tyrese and acquire Sabonis. So you build that foundation, and you have your guy in De'Aaron Fox, and now you have your guy in Sabonis. You draft a guy like Keegan Murray, who I think they're really, you know, having high hopes for, and the expectations that he can be, you know, that next big player that they need. So in a sense, they're kind of hoping like for their own little like big three in that situation. So now it's kind of all about building around those guys. And so far they've, you know, brought in some good talent, I feel like. And, you know, with the emergence of Keon Ellis, if he continues to go in the upward trajectory, then like that's another key piece. Now it's kind of like all about building your depth and then potentially finding that upgrade in your power forward position. So if they can upgrade in a situation, like if you can get a guy like Kyle Kuzma in that position, then we're going to be a lot closer than a lot of people think. So it all just depends on what they do. But I think if they can make the right moves, and again, like they decided to run it back last year and people, you know, obviously disagreed with that situation, but it's like, these things take time. Like a lot of these teams, you know, like Jalen and Jason, Jalen was drafted, I believe, in 2016. And then Jalen was drafted in 2017. And so that, like, that's 7 years that it took for them. And if you just look, every year they had made the playoffs, you know, they lost, you know, and then finally they were in the finals 2 years ago against the Warriors. They lost that. They continued to work, get better. And then, you know, their team obviously did what they needed to do, pivoted, made the moves. And now they're, you know, now they can call themselves NBA champions. Same with like Denver, you know, Denver, you know, had to kind of play around and obviously, you know, lost Jamal Murray to, you know, the injury and stuff like that. So that was definitely devastating for them, but they continued to build, continued to rally around their stars. And then they were able to call themselves NBA champions. So it's, if you look at how some of these teams have been built, and then if you look at their stars and the age of their stars when they win their first title, it's, you know, right in like that 28 to 29 to 30 years old timeline. So like, I feel like we're on the right track. If they make those moves that they need to make to continue to get better, then you're on the right track and you're closer than a lot of people think. Like people think, you know, oh, we need to blow, like after the season, people were saying we need to blow it up, we need to fire Mike Brown, this isn't it, you know, like all these crazy takes. And I'm like, it doesn't happen overnight. Like these guys have to continue to get better. And I do agree, you know, that now, like the third year, like you can't run it back. You gotta upgrade in a lot of positions. But if you're able to do so, then, you know, then you have something. And then, you know, we have Mike Brown, who I think is a great coach. He's obviously put in a system that these guys believe in, that these guys, you know, they trust him. You know, obviously Fox loves him, Sabonis loves him, but we can't, like, Sabonis is, I feel like, going to get better. Like he can still continue to get better, but we can't rely on Sabonis to be like our number two option. Like we have to obviously get a different number two option, and right. Sabonis can be like that third option. But
Well, I was going to say, you know,
now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The common thread between any successful team in the NBA, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, is their core has been together a long time. You build around your core, and it takes multiple years to do that. With Denver, it's Jamal and Jokic. In Miami, it's Bam and Jimmy. And, you know, we already talked about the Celtics with the two J's. And not too long ago, when the Celtics weren't doing so well, about, what, 2 seasons ago? Everybody was talking about trading one of the J's, which is crazy, considering what just happened. So thinking about what we have, and we are going to take Domas and Keegan for granted. And I'm talking about what exactly we would need to get over the hump and to have a deep playoff run. So the givens are going to be Domas and Keegan. improving. I think both will. I do hope that Domas continues to explore and grow his mid-range game as well as his three-point shooting. Keegan, I think, is going to come in with an even bigger bag. I know that phrase is kind of cringe, but whatever. If we have Malik Monk back with Fox, that's already a great thing. I think we could replicate the success of being team 1.0. If we also have good health, like the 22-23 season, which is actually, you know, requires a lot of luck. Considering in the playoffs, Domas and Fox, both of their hands were hurt. Really unfortunate. But over the regular season, we had fairly good health compared to other teams. If we upgrade the power forward position, we get another self-creator, and that's my wish list, on the bench. I honestly feel like we have as good a chance of anybody to go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's all about building your team the right way. And like you said, you know, these teams that have, you know, have their core guys, they've been together, you know, I think probably for at least 4+ years. There's no team that has only been together, you know, 2 or 3 years that won an NBA championship. Like, that's not how that works. Like, the Warriors, when they were doing their great things, that core of like Draymond, Clay, and Steph were together, you know, how many years before they won their first NBA championship? Same with Denver, same with now the Celtics. And yeah, that was like crazy that people were like, you know, one of them needs to be traded, they can't play together. And they proved everyone wrong. They made it work. Yes, they have to sacrifice, you know, the shot selection and the shot making, but it's like, hey, if one guy's on one night, you know, they're going to feed him. If one guy's not on one night, they're going to go to the other guy. Like, they have that ability. And then with the way they were able to build around that with adding Kristaps Porzingis, just the shots that he was able to make and the shot creation he was able to, you know, build and do was like crazy good. Like, he can shoot from the three, he can shoot from the mid-range. Derek White shooting, like, Derek White could do all that stuff. I mean, it was just absolutely insane. Like, what, like, team, like, truly team basketball with Boston, what they were able to do. So yeah, it takes time. And like, now we have our core of guys, and Keegan, I think, like, he was scoring 15 points a game in his second year. Like, that's pretty impressive. So if he can jump even more to like the 18 to 20 range or 22 range, like, that would just be amazing. And then obviously, yes, if you can add a guy like Kyle Kuzma, or, you know, one of the guys that are being talked about, like even Zach LaVine, like, if you can add a guy like that, like, yes, the health can come into question and all that stuff, but like, Zach LaVine can still get buckets. Like, that's, we can't like diminish and say that he just like all of a sudden is like this crappy player. Like, if he's able to be healthy, like, he can get buckets. So if you can add a guy like that, like, that our team would take the next step. And if you can retain, keep Malik Monk, you know, make maybe a couple moves. And like, people are kind of like, oh, Chris Duarte, like, he's on the outs. But it's like, Chris Duarte is only what, and it's going to be in his like third season, so he can even continue to get better as well. Like, people want to give up on some players like so freaking quickly, and it is like crazy to me. Like, I believe in the league, like, obviously you have like star players who just come in and they just have it from day one. Like, there's no doubt about that. But some of these guys, it takes a minute for them to adjust, get their games going, you know, and if they can provide defensively and not be a liability on the defensive end, then I'm okay with that. But if they can continue to work on their offensive game and do what they need to do to get better on that end, then perfect. So I think even Chris Duarte can, like, a guy like Chris Duarte can get better. So, and then we have guys, you know, in the G League, like a Colby Jones, like, what is he going to be in a couple years? Like, we saw, obviously, you know, not every guy's going to be Keon freaking Ellis, but like, if we can kind of get those type of players coming out of our G League, then that would even be awesome as well, because Keon Ellis is making like what, $5 million over the next 3 years? Like, that's nothing. So,
$2 million actually.
Yeah. So,
I have high hopes for Colby Jones. I really do. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to take this gigantic leap, but he showed flashes of being very impactful on the floor. So we'll see if he makes the rotation, depending on who we bring in, free agency or via trade. We'll find out. So my question to you is, if we do keep the 13th pick, and the funny thing is, they talked about, they're looking to trade the 13th pick, but they have other picks, future picks that they could trade. So this pick may not be a part of said trade package with HB or Kevin Herter to get whoever they want. If they keep the 13th pick, and I'm not going to go through a million names, that's what our draft season episodes are for. Please check those out, especially the last one with James Barlow, by the way. But what type of player do you want?
I mean, it's kind of hard because you obviously, like, everyone's kind of always looking for, like, the 3-and-D type of player. But I think even if we could possibly find, like, the backup big of the future, that would even be big, like, too. Like, obviously, like, you know, they brought in JaVale McGee. That didn't really work out. Alex Len, I think, has been tremendous, you know, these past couple years, especially, like, later on in the season. He's been really, really good. But I think if they can get, like, younger at the position and, like, find that, like, backup big in this draft, I think that would be, like, freaking massive. Like, whatever they could do to would be huge. Because obviously, like, you have Sabonis who's going to play majority of the minutes. If you can find that guy that can come off the bench, provide you those great minutes, and do what he needs to do, and kind of be more so of, like, you know, he doesn't need to come in and score, but if he can be more of the facilitator type role, then that would be freaking perfect. Because he's coming in, you're not having to pay him a bunch of money, and he's just providing exactly what you need, and that's it. And then he goes in, you know, into 12 minutes a night. So if they could find that, I think that would be really, really big. Because, you know, who knows if we're going to be able to keep Alex Len again, because I think he only signed, like, a 1-year contract last year. So, and I don't think, you know, I doubt JaVale McGee is going to be coming back as well. And obviously, I don't think that stint worked out, you know, bringing him in. So I think, yeah, obviously, if you could find a 3-and-D guy, great. That's always hard because every team is freaking looking for that type of guy. But I think, yeah, if you can find a backup big in this draft, I think that would be really, really huge.
100%. For me, I still would love for them to get a stretch big, a power forward who could shoot. I have players in mind, but we're not going to go there in this episode anyways. But you hit it right on the head, the nail on the head. I think people are under the impression that, a first-round pick, especially in the lottery, even though it's late lottery, should be somebody who may even start or have a lot of minutes in the rotation. That's just not even true. This person may even spend some time in the G League. You never know. And yeah, off the bench to give us 10 to 12 effective minutes is perfect. It's all we need. And especially it's contingent upon if Malik Monk stays, right? So if Malik Monk stays, yeah, I would prefer for them to get a stretch big or a wing. If Malik Monk goes, many experts across the draft community are pegging us to pick a combo guard or a point guard that could score, which is fine. I prefer the option of Monk staying and us getting a wing or a big, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the draft is coming up, you know, next week, so it's going to be interesting to see the direction, because there's obviously, like, as we get closer to it, I feel like there's just going to be rumors flying everywhere. And then, you know, last year, like, we made the trade on literally, like, on draft, you know, when the draft was happening, and we decided to ship off Rashawn Holmes in that first pick to Dallas. So anything can happen, but I have faith in our front office that, you know, they know what they're doing. They obviously have a plan. They have a vision of what they want this team to look like, what they want this team to be, the expectations that they have. So I have trust what they're going to do. And, you know, every move that pretty much they've so far had, you know, made, I feel like has, you know, benefited the team to some extent. And then there's obviously been, like, some, you know, questionable decisions, but I feel like that's every, you know, regimen that is going to be throughout the league. Like, you're not going to have a perfect front office. And if you did, then kudos to you, because that's crazy. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in these next couple weeks. Because yes, right now you can obviously talk with your free agents. And then, you know, in a couple weeks, free agency is where you can talk to all free agents is going to open. So yeah, it's going to be a crazy couple of weeks here. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, hopefully. And I'm assuming it's Eastern times, right? So
yeah,
that everyone's tweeting about. So it's like, let's just hope on July 6th at 9 p.m. Pacific time, or 9 a.m., I should say, that we get that Woj bomb or that Shams post that says Malik Monk has remained a Sacramento King. Hopefully that's what happens. And honestly, I really do hope that golfing pick that Keegan and Vivek and Monty posted with Malik Monk, I hope that was a little tell, an assurance for us, the fans, that it's a good sign that Malik Monk is staying with us.
Yeah, I just hope, I mean, obviously, like, you know, the one big team that's been like floating around is Orlando, because they obviously have a bunch of money. So it's like, if Orlando, if you can please throw all of your money at Klay Thompson, thank you. I would applaud you. Stay away from Malik Monk. You do not want him because we want him. So that would be awesome. But yeah, it would be nice if, like, because they can technically like talk to him now and offer him a contract now, but he would be doing a disservice to himself to not wait and listen to other teams. But if they could get the deal done now, I mean, then all of us would be happy and the deal would be done and we can just relax on that front. And then obviously, you know, worry about everything else. But yeah, I have a feeling, you know, you could tell how much he loves being in Sacramento. And then, you know, it is a business. Obviously they have to do what's best for them and their families. But I have a feeling that, you know, Fox and Risse are kind of like, just stay, but they do, you know, obviously understand that, you know, he's going to do what's best for him and his family. But I feel like Malik knows, you know, what this team, what their vision is. And, you know, I feel like there's not very many other teams out there that would be able to offer him the type of money and be in a better situation. So yeah, we just have to hope that, you know, our situation is more intriguing, even if we can't offer him the most money.
Yeah. And maybe it's the homer in me. I truly believe that Malik Monk has a connection with the fan base.
Yeah. I don't know what player doesn't, honestly. Any player, I think, outside of like Jason Terry is like, maybe probably, well, Buddy Hield, obviously, but is like loved in Sacramento, even when they come back as a player, or even, you know, after they retire and they come back. I mean, we have players, you know, coming back all the time. Jason Williams, Mike Bibby, you know, Peja, Vladi, you know, we have all those guys that continue. Chris Webber just came back, you know, to promote his book and everything. Like, we have these guys coming back to the city for a reason. And, you know, obviously the fans are a massive part of that. So, you know, we connect with the players, you know, because we love our team so much. We want our team to win. So, you know, I truly, every team wants to say they have the best fans in the world, but I really truly do believe Sacramento has one of the best fan bases, because we've been through some ups and downs and now we're kind of, you know, up. So it's been nice. But yeah, I do think, you know, Malik does have a really big love for the city. We've obviously embraced him, you know, since he's got here, when he went through his little Band-Aid stage. You know, I just feel like, you know, the team loves him. We love him. So hopefully he loves us back and he decides to stay.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to put this out tomorrow. Next Monday, the week of the draft, I think I am going to have a little draft nerd space slash Kings offseason space. You know, hopefully all the draft nerds, so-called draft experts in the Kings community, will come through and we can talk about a draft crushes and whatnot. I think that'll be fun. Hopefully you all can join us. And it's optional for you, Liz. I know you have school. I know you're busy. So, but you know, it's always great to have a co-pilot when we do those things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If it's at night, I'll be there.
Nice. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Good day, good night, and light the beam.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.